All right, everybody, welcome to the Uncommon Podcast. I hope you've eaten your fill of turkey and are working through those Christmas lists.
I got my fat pants on.
I got my cookie pants on. So I can eat my gingerbread cookies without fear.
Right.
We are very quickly approaching Christmas time. It's a very hectic time of year for a lot of people. Shopping, family in town, vacations, that kind of thing.
Naps. Those naps don't take themselves.
You know, somebody's got to hold down the couch from flying away.
That's right.
So we are talking about just the busy season and kind of what that looks like as Christians and how peace plays a role in that. Mm. We're talking about kind of like finding peace in like the very busy moments of life, trying to create intentional moments of quiet, whether that's respect or reflection on your life, prayer, sitting down, just having a deep connection with God in those moments in the morning, and just kind of how that plays out in what is probably the busiest time of the year for most people.
What's funny is, so Noah texted us the other day and said, you know, would you want to watch the kids in December? And my immediate thing was, yeah, well, sure. Let me just check the schedule kind of thing. I know that as you get to that period of the year, every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I feel like it's spoken for, yeah. You know. And so
every Christmas party, shopping trip.
Right. We got errands to do and whatever. Sometimes it's not as glamorous as a party. Sometimes it's just like, well, I got to go buy the ham or the turkey. Yeah. Yeah, we're cooking for this here and got a plan for that. So finding stillness during this season. You ever run across anybody and you're like, hey, you got any plans for the holidays? And they say, nope.
Not really. I think I had one year I asked a couple and they both their families were like halfway across the country and they were all doing their own kind of thing. Right. So they didn't have to fly up there. So they actually had the opposite. Their Christmas was a little bit isolated, besides the people from our Bible study kind of coming around them. Mm. But I always love talking to the newly married couples of our group. Like, so how's your Christmas going? And it's always like, usually it's insane of like, well, I'm going with my parents in the morning and then his parents in the afternoon. And we're seeing his grandparents the day after and the day before we're doing this. And the church has a Christmas Eve service. So, they're buying you get married, all those. You just doubled the amount of people you have to buy presents for, all that side kind of thing. That Christmas list always gets longer and longer every year. It's not just stuff for me. So,
well, if they had to remake that movie Four Christmases, I think they need to
like
17 Christmases, because it feels like it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
Last year we, I want to say, I would like to say, we chose stillness for Christmas, but I think stillness was chosen for us. So we went to a Christmas Eve service at our church, like around 1 or something like that in the day. And then we have one we go to at another church we were a part of that's later in the evening, and we go have dinner with some friends. This is every year. That's just on lock, that plan. Mm-hmm. And the next day, Dana and I both caught COVID. And we were kind of laid up for, ironically, our whole Christmas vacation.
Time How long are work. You off work? Sickness for you, sir.
Sickness, yes, exactly. So that kind of stillness I was not down with. But it did clear the schedule, so to speak. And so as we're talking about this, maybe finding some things to do that maybe you got a little, you can dial that down. Mm-hmm. So Dan and I always have some activities we do on Christmas, like going to Christmas Town, McGaddenville, Christmas Village. Everything's got Christmas in the title.
Sure.
Daniel Stowe Gardens, a lot of bakery runs, that kind of stuff. We've always been doing this Christmas tour, her and I, even before COVID. We would map out neighborhoods to go drive through in the evenings. And most of the time it was just us. sometimes there's other people too. Yeah. And Heather came, and then her mom too. But those times just slowly driving through neighborhoods felt like some of the best times, because it just hit maybe Christmas music on. I was just not in a rush to get through a little town or a little neighborhood kind of thing. And I would like to find more things like that that felt like some quiet time.
Mm.
And is there any particular tradition that you have started in the past or want to start in the future that since you guys have been married?
Not particularly. I mean, most of it depends on kind of like whose family we're seeing that year for Christmas. Cause sure. Usually for when we go see her family, it's an all day affair. We'll get up there early in the morning kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're a good hour away. So we have to start trekking in the morning. Right. I think, now that we own our homeowners instead of renters, I do definitely want to make our house a little more festive. Now that we have more control over kind of putting up decorations and that kind of stuff.
Are you installing that chocolate river in the backyard? Not yet. Cane Alley?
No, that's where the mud river is currently. Dogs made sure of that. But for the most part, we've enjoyed just having a morning to ourselves. Me and Heather, before we kind of start the day, we'll obviously do like pancakes or waffles for us in the morning. We'll kind of exchange our gifts to each other and just kind of have a little quiet moment in the morning. We'll throw Christmas Charlie Brown on the background, just kind of let that play with the fireplace going. Sure. So that's been our kind of go-to every year so far.
Yeah, I think that, and if for those of you who have been following us for a while, he slipped that in there, but Joshua bought a house this year. And in all of our podcasts before, we talked about renting, finding houses. Mission accomplished. They're in their house, and it's about 4 minutes from ours, so it's super awesome. Some points that we kind of would suggest is prioritizing quiet time. Mm-hmm. I don't think that if we were to go through and say, hey, what are you doing this holiday season kind of thing? I don't think quiet time is on that agenda. Yeah. But I do think it's important. And you're probably saying, I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. You know, make time, maybe if it's just for a few minutes a day. I have friends that wake up at 5 a.m. It's a 5 a.m. Did you know that?
I didn't know the clock went that early.
It's a 5 a.m. But they get up and do their Bible study for, you know, an hour kind of thing. They just enjoy the quiet. Mm-hmm. I told them, said, you know why it's quiet? Because no one else is up at 5 a.m. in your house.
Everybody's asleep.
Right, exactly. But they find these little moments that they can just focus on God, you know, and their lives. And, you know, finding peace doesn't need to take an hour to do so. Start with a couple of, you know, 5-10 minutes and then try to expand it from there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the term quiet time always feels like a little bit of like a misnomer of like, well, I got to be quiet and still kind of thing, you know? Right. I know plenty of people who are like, I can't be quiet. I can't sit still kind of thing. So I know it's plenty of people who they'll go on walks in their neighborhood and they'll pray out loud about all the houses they kind of pass, their neighbors kind of thing. So it doesn't have to be quiet meditation, you know, on your bed or in a coffee couch or having coffee in the morning kind of thing, but, you know, find something that is intentional about you spending time with God, whether that is, you know, taking a walk around your neighborhood, praying out loud, praying with your spouse, you know, reading the word, kind of whatever that means, but, you know, surrendering that time to the Lord and really focusing in on having that conversation.
Yeah. I think also reframing the season, the perspective of it, will give you pause. It's not about Christmas lists and cookies and Christmas parties or whatever. When you start focusing on the birth of Christ, I think that may help change our perspective of like our last month's podcast of being thankful. Mm-hmm. I think if we can kind of keep that focus front and center, I think it would help change our schedule a little mm-hmm. bit, which then would free up more time. We always have more time than we think.
Yeah.
If I can spend 3 to 6 hours on a Sunday watching football, I got time.
Yeah.
And so what's our challenge?
The challenge for the first section here is just trying to find small moments that you can set aside this week and finding that peace during the busy season with those mm-hmm. moments. Possibly doing a Christmas devotional this time period kind of thing. We have a couple on the website. But just finding those moments and taking those moments. This isn't just about like, oh, I could take less time on my phone, or I could wake up earlier, or I could spend less time doom scrolling on TikTok. But actually, you know, making good on those statements of trying to find the small times we can have quiet and then doing it.
So for all the old guys out there, I'm going to ask this question. So I sound crazy. Define doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling. It is this like whirlpool of like you'll just sit on something and just keep scrolling and scrolling, and eventually you won't want to get out of it and get up, that kind of thing. Gotcha. Just it's mind numbing, basically.
Sure. Just kind of tune out kind of thing. Well, I know that we have a few resources focused at this time of year. The first gift, the most stressful time of the year, is always popular. Let's see. There was a third one that last year was the unwrapping season, I think it was called.
Unwrapped, yes.
And so, you know, there are resources out there to help us pause and put the right thing in the right place. Mm-hmm. And so our scripture reflection is Psalm 46:10.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Be still. Jerry Seinfeld always like, you know, everything's down with kids. Calm down. Mm. Sit down. Slow down, you know. And I hear that, be still. Mm. God knows. You know, if I'm praying, mm-hmm. all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I'm off on a tangent. I was like, did I just daydream something while I'm in the middle of a prayer?
Did I think about my grocery list again?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Father, you know, that kind of thing. Be still and know that I am God. Yeah. That's a great scripture piece. Mm-hmm. So hang on as we get ready to move to our second segment. But before that, stay tuned for some fantastic donors and supporters. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailor web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. Okay, we're back with our Tis the Busy Season podcast, segment two. We talked about in the first one, trying to find some downtime.
Yeah.
This section, we're going to talk about the benefits of some downtime.
Try to sell you on the downtime.
That's right. So in our first segment, obviously we discussed trying to focus on God and his peace and the gift of Jesus during the holiday season. But this one, we need to talk about, we need to, like you said, sell some people on some downtime. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been an employee and I've been a small business owner. And I've almost flipped it where I've owned my business almost the same time as I've been an employee. And the differences are drastic, to say the least. You know, that you might be standing on this side of the table mm-hmm. as an employee, only feels about like maybe 10 steps around that. That's a big 10 steps. Mm-hmm. But both need some downtime to recharge. I love the statement Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln get quoted for every quote ever made pretty much on online, but I think this one is Abraham Lincoln. And it said, if I had, say, 8 hours to chop down a forest, I'd spend the first four sharpening my axe. Mm. And so I think it's important for us to have some downtime to refresh, whether it be, I think we're always thinking, I need some downtime from work so I can, you know, so I can go back and do it all over again. Mm-hmm. But what if the downtime was to benefit your walk with Christ, your role as a husband, dad, leader? We don't always think that maybe our performance is suffering in those areas.
Yeah,
just as much as it is for a employer.
Yeah.
So if you had to say end of a day, what do you feel more fatigue around, mental or physical?
I mean, because we work in such a mental focused environment, I'd say mostly mental.
Yeah.
I think, and Heather works with, you know, horses and the kids all day. So she comes home, she's physically exhausted.
Sure.
So we're two peas in a pod where I'm like, I want to go do something, take my mind off all the crap I've had to deal with today. And she's like, right. I don't want to go nowhere because I need to lay down because I'm hurting, man. So I think over the years, I've tried to figure out ways to kind of like take the downtime because, and as we've talked about before, and being entrepreneurs, it's kind of hard to turn off that part of your brain sometimes of like, I am physically still close to my quote unquote work computer to do stuff off hours, or this person asked me a question or had me do something on the weekend kind of thing. And I think, and Heather's mentioned this a couple of times where she's like, I can tell when you are pushing yourself and are exhausted and how that's impacting when you're talking to me, talking to other people, just in general, the house, kind of how that feels. So if you think they can't tell, they can tell. And that goes for everybody across the board, friends and family, spouse, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wasn't like it was impacting me to the point where I was doing something I shouldn't, or, you know, being mean or whatever like that. But I have, had friends where they're like, work has destroyed me and I'm taking it out on those around me kind of thing. And so you never want that to be the case of, you know, I mean, I've heard of, you know, I don't think it was a pastor who was telling a friend of his of the way he handled his work day. He'd come home, he'd park in the driveway, and he'd spend 5 minutes in prayer before he got through that front door to take some downtime, leave his stuff at the office and not take it into the front door with him to his family. And that can be hard. I mean, tuning off that part of your brain where you live in a society that's so focused on, well, you need to be better than the guy across the street to make those dollars to get that white picket fence.
You got a hustle. You got a side gig?
Yeah.
You got a side hustle? How many you got? 12, 15?
They all make 10 cents a day.
Yeah, I think that mental health, mental fatigue, health fatigue, show up in areas that we're unaware of, like you said, other people are. And when you don't when you don't help yourself recover from that, you become so unproductive in your family.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I have not gotten enough sleep, so when I get home from work, laying on a sofa for 2 hours, or I've had so many meetings at work that day, I don't want to talk to anybody, right? Talked out kind of thing. So our performance kind of tells us, well, what should we be changing? Because I don't know if hearing it from our family always does it.
No.
But it does show up, like, in our health.
Yeah.
We have some friends that they're just, I'm not sure they were pushing themselves so much, but it was pushing themselves, bad eating habits, sleep habits, and all of a sudden it turned into a stroke. Mm. And then it turned into some heart issues. And so you'd hate to have something happen that will make you make an adjustment.
Right. You'd rather you be the one in the control of that choice as opposed to the doctor saying, hey, if you don't change something, you won't have to worry about it anymore in 2 months.
Right. And, you know, that line moves gradually, bit at a time, bit at a time. And all of a sudden you look back and you're like, whoa, that flag I planted over there is now a mile away.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. So finding some downtime for yourself to refresh and get back at it when it's time, because Mom and I always talk about we don't take enough time off. You know, we like own our own business. We try to take off during the year, and it doesn't always, it's not conducive of it. And so this past year, we tried to do a week off around my birthday, around July, and then a week off around her birthday. We did a staycation. Mm. And you know Mom, she got ants in her pants. She like, you know, where we're going to go kind of thing. So her staying home, she would definitely be a person that would have to be on the go, or at least doing something physically. And so, you know, find whatever you're struggling with and see what you can do to benefit from some downtime. Because if you are constantly doing it, you don't have a reference point of downtime.
Right.
Also, you take a vacation and you're like, is this what downtime feels like? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I kind of feel refreshed. So find some downtime for yourself and for your family.
Yeah.
So our scripture reference is Philippians 4:7.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So I know that there are quite a bit of tools and resources on Uncommon. If you have not checked it out recently, we've just relaunched our library from an all-access perspective September 1st of this year.
Yep.
That feels like 125 months ago.
Yep. That was just a few months ago.
That was just a few months ago, yeah. Talk about some downtime needed. Apparently, we need some downtime here at Uncommon. So check it out at uncommon.org. There's a ton of resources out there that will encourage and challenge you, as well as us, to take some downtime and change our perspective where it needs to be.
Yeah. So if you're going to be something, be uncommon.
Be uncommon.